Today's daf is daf ayin hey. So we got three lines down. The two dots. The Gemara quotes machlokes that we saw in the Mishnah. Chalos bolam divrei Rebbe and Chacham omrim solos. The question is when it comes to the chalos, when you bake the bread from the menachos, when do you do the belila? Do you mix the oil together when the chalos after only if they've been baked, or according to Chachamim, you mix it together when they're in the state of solos, the state of flour? So Gemara says Tanur Rabbanan. The Brisa tells us. The Pasuk teaches us, solas belula, that it should be mixed when it's solas, when it's flour. Melamed nivlelas, solas, that in the state of being flour is when you mix it together. Rebbe Omer, chalos bolam, how does he know that you mix the oil when it's already chalos? Shenemar says in a different Pasuk, chalos belulos. Pasuk says, chalos matzos belulos bashamim. So two different psukim, one that talks of belilos by chala and one by solas. So Amr lo, so Chacham say back to Rebbe, v'alo lachmei toda, nemar behem chalos, and yef shalavolan kishen chalos ela solas. So when it comes to toda, even though it talks about chalos, carbon toda, being chalos and mixing it in the state of chalos, it says chalos matos belulos b'shamem, we know it's impossible to mix the carbon toda when they're in a state of chalos. We'll see why it's impossible in just a second. So even though the pasuk calls it chalos and bolos, it must be talking about when it was belula in the state of being solas. So that's the response back to Chachamim, and therefore it's in the state of solas, is when you do the belila. So asks the Marek Ketzad, oh, so how exactly do you do the belila according to the Chachamim? He says, nosin shemen bekli kodem lasiyas, and you first put oil in the pan. Venos, and then you put the solas in the pan. Venos and shemen aleh, and then you put more oil on top of the flour, vola, and then you mix it together. Velasha, and you knead it with water. Veof, and then you bake it. Ufosis, and after you've baked it, you break it into pieces. You will see that on Amud Beis, how that works. See, after it's baked, you break it. And nos and aleh shemen, then you put more oil on top of it. That's called the yitzika, and then you finally do a komet. So that's the whole stage, the whole process, according to the Chachamim. Rebbe Omer, no. Chalos bolon. You only mix the oil together, the belila, when it's already been baked. Shenemar, it says chalos belulos bashemim. It says as when they're in a state of chalos, that's when the belila takes place. So Ketzad Ose, what's the process according to Rebbe? He says first nosin shemen bekli kodem lasiyasa. That's the first step of pouring oil in the kli. Venosna, then you put the flour in. Velasha, and you knead it with water. Ve'ofa, and then you bake it. And after you bake it, posa, you break it into pieces. And then, nosin lav shemen uvola. Then, after you break it and bake it and break it, then you put the oil in. That's a blila, according to Rebbe. And after that, chosav nosin lav shemen, you put a final piece, amount of oil, which is the yitzika, v'komet. So again, there are three stages. There's the shemen goes in the kli, there's a blila, and the yitzika. The question is, the blila when it's solas, or is the blila after the breaking and poses and you break it into pieces? Mar wants to know now, how come Chachamim said above that was EF Shard de Kamarle, that we said it's impossible to do the belila when the carbon toda is chalos? Even though the Pasuk says chalos belos bashemen by carbon toda, we know for sure can be referring to belila when it's a chala. How do we know? Rabban le Rebbe Mahi, what is it talking about? So Amar Rabbi Shmuel by Rav Yitzchak, revias shemenhi. That you take a revia shemen, a certain amount of oil, a small amount of oil, for the carbon toda. V'heyach mischalekes l'kama chalos. And if you wait until you bake all 40 loaves of bread when it comes to carbon toda, a revia of oil will not be sufficient. Only when it's in the state of being solas are you able to mix oil together. But when it's four chalas, you can spread a revia of oil amongst 40 different chalas. And therefore, even though it says bulos chalos bulos, it has to be referring to putting the belila of shemen when it's in the state of solas. That was the response of the Chachamim. The Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah that said, "Hachalos tuunos belila urkikin mishicha." There's a difference between chalos, which were a bigger, thick piece of bread. You mix the oil together, even whether the flour or when it's been baked. When it comes to urkikin, when it comes to flat pieces of bread, the matzahs, you do mishicha. You put oil on top only. So the Gemara says, "Tanur Rabbanan." The Braisa quotes from the pasuk. It says, "Chalos belulos v'lo urkikin belulos." Belulim. The Gemara, the Pasuk says, the whole Pasuk reads, that chalos matzos belulos bashemen, ur kiki matzos mishuchen bashemen. So clearly the Pasuk distinguishes between chalos requiring belila and rikikin requiring mishicha. So yachal, I would have thought, halo dinu, isn't the kavachomer, ma chalos sheinam tuna mishicha. There's no oil of mishicha by chalos, yet they're tunas belila, but they require the mixing of oil inside. Rikikin shetunin mishicha, rikikin which require the dinin mishicha, eno din shetunin belila. Certainly it should also require belilos. Tamalomar, chalos belulos, Lo kikim b'lulim. It's a pasuk talmud gzeres hakasa that only chalas require and no other thing requires blulos to the exclusion of rikikim. Then the Gemara says the opposite. Rikikin meshuchin v'lo chalos meshuchos. That you only have to do the meshicha on top of the rikikim but not on the chalos. So sheyachal, I would have thought, halo dinu, there's a kavachomer, ma rikikin she'en and tunim blila. You don't do blila by rikikin yet, tunim meshicha. So chalos, the big piece of bread, shetunos blila, which does require mixing in the oil, ein odin shetunos meshicha, certainly it should also require meshicha. Tamalomer rikikin meshuchin, only rikikin meshuchin v'lo chalos meshuchos. They're mutually exclusive. The chalos require belilos, and the rikikin require meshuchos. So my Tamuda, what exactly, what's this drush that we're making here? So how do you learn this? So the Gemara says, Amarava, l'lishami lichtav chalos meshuchos rikikim blulim. It's simply saying that since the Pasuk focuses on chalos being, had it really been true that chalos required meshuchos, we would have found a Pasuk that taught us that. And if rikikim really required blulim, we would have found a Pasuk. And since the Pasukim telling us this, we only have the opposite, that it only said blulos by chalos and meshichin by rikikin, we're able to learn they are mutually exclusive, these two different dinim. So now the Gemara wants to know, based on the Mishnah, ketan moshchin kimin ki v'ashar nechla. How exactly do you do meshichin? So you draw the shape of a key, of this letter, Yavanis letter, on top of the rikikin. So my kimin ki, what does that even mean? Amar of Kana kimin ki Yavani, a Greek letter, ki. I don't know what's pronounced in alpha, beta, how it is in Greek, but it's some letter. So what exactly is the shape of this letter? So you take a look at Tosos, Dimaso Kimin Ki. Tsar Bakunchas, Rashi, wrote he made a picture, Kimin Tes. It looks like a test. That's the shape that they would draw on it. Uperish Bechumash, she says it's a gimel. And Yeshifarshim, it's Kimon Nun or Kimon Chav. So the whole different pshatim here. I think there's a print that even calls it an X. I don't remember. Yeah, you have it?
I've seen it.
Okay, so so there are different understandings of what the key of Anis looks like. Yeah, I don't know. Tanur Barna, the Brisa says, Mincha haba b'chet mechsel, chalos mechsel, kikin. That's how you bring a mincha. And you bring a sitting, we had a machlokas, whether or not you're allowed to split up, either we said it has to be all chalos or kikin. And there's one opinion, no, you're allowed to split it. So according to the opinion that you'll have to do half chalos and half rikikin, so maybe lug shemen v'chotzeo. So you bring a lug shemen. Every time you're making a dava of 10 chalos, you bring a lug of shemen. What do you do with that lug of shemen? Chotzeo. You first split the lug up in half. Chetzel l'chalos, chetzel l'rikikin. One you reserve for the chalos, one you reserve for the rikikin, because we know there are two different processes that you do for each of them. The chalos bolon rikikin moshkin. So the half that you're using for the chalos, you do belila. And the half that you're using for rikikin, you do for the meshicha. Mosheach as a rakik apne kulo. You do the oil, the shape of the key of anis on top of the rakik. Ushar shem the rest of that machzir lechalos. You put back with the other half you reserved for the chalos, and now you have extra, more than a half a log for the chala, and then you do belilim for that. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Omer, no motion kamin ki. You do the shape, the meshicha on the rikikin, and shahar shemen, you don't put back with the other belulos for the chalos, the rest of the shemen is nechal lakwadim. So again, meshicha doesn't require much. Again, you have half a log of shemen, you don't need that much to draw the meshicha. So there's going to be a lot of leftover. So the machlokus is, what do you do with the leftover? Do you use a leftover shemen to put it back with the chalos and do belulos with the chalos? Or no, do you give it to the kwadim for them to eat? Tani idach, the other brayso teaches us that rikikin haban bifnei atzman. If a person's a mi misnadev a mincha, we have rikikin. So maybe log shemen u'moshchen. He brings a log of shemen, a large amount of oil. Does the meshicha v'chos u'moshchen, and then he does it again. He keeps doing the shapes over and over again. Ad sheyichla kol shemen shabalog, until he uses up all the log of shemen, which is a lot of times of doing this key. But Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Moshchen Kimin Ki, you do it one time only, Ushar Hashemen Lenecha Lekwanim. So the Machlok is what to do in this case. Fine. So it's parallel to the previous discussion. The new Mishnah tells us now, on the bottom of Ayin Heim and Aleph, Kol HaMenachos HaNasos B'Kli, Tuna Pesisa, any mincha that's done in a kli, whether it's marcheshes, whether it's a machvas, whatever you're doing, requires pesisa. Pesisa means you break up in little pieces. After it's been baked, you need to break it up. Now, normally we think of, when kmitza growing up, whatever we knew about kamitza, we always think it's like flour. It's all as you do it, it's, you know, easy to do. But the Gemara says that kamitza is zu avod kashish shebemikdash, one of the hardest things to do, because it's actually dough. You're trying to crack dough when it's in your hand. To try to crack dough when it's hard and when it's soft. When it's hard, it's a little easier. When it's soft, it's very hard to try to peel off the top and bottom of the dough that you picked up. That's how kamitza. But kamitza, it's only done after the pesisin. What's pesisin? You break the bread and you broke it up into little pieces. Now you pick up the piece in your hand and you try to smooth the top and the bottom. So how does pesisin work? The Gemara is going to explain in just a moment. So the Gemara then says, "Lamute mai." We said only that which is nasas bakli, that which is made in a keli, requires psisa. To exclusion of what? What doesn't require psisa? Rav Papa, "Lamute shter lechem v'lechem apanim." That these are not made in a keli, rather they're made in a tanur, and it's saying made in the tanur doesn't require psisa. The Gemara now says, "Tanur abanim," quotes in the Brisa, the pasuk tells us, "Pasos osa pitim." You're supposed to make the mincha into pieces of bread after it's been baked. The rabbos call menachos lepsisa, that every one of the types of menachos require psisa. Not only this pasuk, but all of them require psisa. So yachal shani mar be'af she lechem lechem apanim. One may think even these two, shtei lechem and lechem apanim, are made from flour. They're also considered menachos. Tamalomer osa. Osa means only this. The exclusion of something else, excluding shtei lechem and lechem apanim, that they do not require psisa. So then the Gemara says, "V'yatakta shemen hamincha." Then you put oil on top of the bread at the end. The rabbis call menachos the yitzika, that all types of menachos require yitzika. Yachal shani mar be'af minchas ma'afi, even that which is baked in the oven. Tamalomer aleh shemen, only on it. Otzi esachalos v'lo otzi, fine. Aleh shemen, that only it. So excluding something. So what are we excluding? I would have thought otzi esachalos v'lo otzi esarakikin. Tamalomer he, that's coming to exclude that even the chalos are excluded, that meaning that which is baked in the oven, whether it's chalos, whether it's rekikin, both of them from the pasuk aleh shemen and an additional pasuk he, the two mi'utim, are excluding chalos and rekikin, that they do not require yitzika since they're baked in the oven and not used in a kli. So we see that again, these items made in the tanner don't require yitzika, nor do they require pesisa. So my Talmud, what exactly is the drasha that we're saying yitzika doesn't apply to that which is baked in the oven? Ema lahotzi minchas kohanim. I'm going to say maybe it's coming to exclude a minchas kohanim. A kohen brings a minchas chote. Maybe that's the type of mincha that doesn't require yitzika. Why are we saying it's only that which is baked in the oven is excluded? So Gemara says, Amar Rabba, eiz adavar shetzarach shnei miyutim, haviyomer zu minchas mafe. What's the thing that requires two? Minchas kohanim, it would have been enough to just to use one pasuk to exclude it. What do you need two psukim for? What's a type of menachos that require two psukim? It must be that which is baked in the oven, because there are two types of breads baked in the oven. They're the chalos and then the rekikin. So since there are two miyutim here, it must be being mimayit, something that requires two miyutim, namely minchas mafeh, which again have both chalos and rekikin, and therefore we say those are excluded from yitzika, but the minchas chote of kohanim does require yitzika. Now going with Amud Beis, now the new Mishnah tells us, Minchas Yisrael, a mincha brought by Yisrael, kofel echa l'shnayim, you fold it over after you've baked it, v'shnayim l'arba, then you fold it over another time, you now have layered, like four layers of, imagine you take a piece of paper, you split it in half, that's now two before you break it, and you fold it one more time, you now have four layers folded together. So the Gemara then says, umavdu, after you've folded them over multiple times, then you separate it, so now you have four pieces. So imagine you have folded paper over twice, you have four pieces, you cut them each now, you have now four pieces of paper of equal size. When it comes to minchas kohanim, however, if it's brought by a kohen, kofel echa l'shnayim mishayim l'arba, you do fold it two times, creating four different layers now, but ve'enu mavda, you are not mavda, you leave it as is, like almost like a tower of bread folded on top of each other. Minchas kohen mashiach, the mincha brought by a kohen gadol, lohe mekafla, wouldn't be folded at all, it would stay as is. So these are three different dinim of how kofel and psisa havdala work. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, minchas kohanim, and v'minchas kohen mashiach, ein bem psisa, mipnei she'ein bem kamitza, and kol ein she'ein bem kamitza, ein bem psisa. Rabbi Shimon felt that even the kohen's regular kohen hedot, his also wouldn't require psila. You wouldn't do a psisa. You wouldn't do a havdalah even by a stam kohen, because he has a klal that anything that requires kemitza, that requires psisa. But that which does not have a kemitza doesn't require psisa either. And since the Minchas Kohen's carbon goes entirely on the Mizbech, it's Kula Kolio, there's no Kamita by the Minchas Chote, Memela, there's no Psisa either. What's the understanding here? Because Rabbi Shimon here is the one who's speaking. Rabbi Shimon is Darsha time at the Kra. He always learns the reasons behind the Psukim. So the reason behind the Psukim, he understands why do you need Psisa? Psisa is in order to allow for Kamita. Remember, the Kamita took place after you baked it. If the challah is whole, you can't do a kamitza on a whole piece of challah. You have to break it into crumbs in order to do kamitza. So, but something that doesn't require kamitza, so memela doesn't require psisa either. And since a kohen's mincha doesn't require kamitza, memela you don't do a psisa either. That's the understanding of Rabbi Shimon. And then finally, the Mishnah tells us when you do the psisa, v'chulan posin kizesim. When you end up breaking it out together, this is Rabbi Shimon Shita, has to be the size of kizayis. You can't make it too small. He says you could fold it and break it more than four times. According to the Tanakhama, you only break it four times. You fold it over, you have four pieces. Those are large pieces. Rabbi Shimon says you could fold it 8 and 16 and 32. As long as the end of the day, whatever is broken, the size of kazais, you could fold it and break it as many times as you please.
So how do you, the kamitza, the size of kazais?
Remember, kazais are much smaller than what we have now. Imagine the real size of an olive. Uh-huh. You have a bunch of those in your hand. You pick a few up, and probably two or three, I guess, and you probably wipe off the top, I guess. You break them or so. So the Gemara now says, Tani Rabbanan. Pasos, the pasuk says, Pasos is to break it up. Yachal, the Shnaim, one may think only you have to fold it over once, break it over once only. Tamalomer, Pitim, it says Pasos, also Pitim, to do it twice. So E Pitim, Yachal, Yasim, Peru, maybe you should make it into tiny crumbs, into many Pitim, into many little crumbs, like tiny crumbs, Tamalomer. Osa has to be something significant, like a chefza. Crumbs, it's not considered an osa when it comes to tiny crumbs. Osa lepsisim, lepsisim, lepsisim. You have to make the initial fold, the initial psisa, into one other layer, meaning a second fold, but don't make it multiple times into tiny little pieces where there's no boundaries to it. Okay, so how does that work exactly? Minchas Yisrael, kofel echa, l'shaim, l'shaim, l'arba, umavda. As we said, you fold it over two times, creating four pieces, and then you split them up each, and now you have four significant size pieces. The Minchas Kohanim, however, kofel echa, l'shaim, l'shaim, l'arba, v'eino mavdil, as we saw in the Mishnah, komishiach, who says, hayam mekafel, you fold it, but you wouldn't fold it at all. The komishiach. Second here. Oh yeah, we're about to ask a question. V'hadin t'nan lo hayim makafla. We're just quoted a brisa that says the minchas kohen gadol komishiach. You do fold over, but our mishnah Torah said lo makafla. You wouldn't fold over the mincha of the kohen gadol. And so says the answer. The gemara answers. Amaraba ainu makafla l'arba, ama makafla shnayim. When the mishnah says you don't fold over, it means you don't fold over twice to create four. Rather, you only fold it over one time, having two layers. That's what the Mishnah says. The Braisa says, fold it. The Mishnah says, don't fold it. You fold it, but you don't fold it twice. So then the Gemara quotes in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minchas Kohanim, Uminchas, Koy Mashiach, Ein Mem Psisa. There is no Psisa for them at all, because there's no Kmitza. So Amar Rav Yosef, Yosef says, Hai Chavitza. Chavitza is a type of food that was made from many like crumbs of bread. They use breadcrumbs to make something. And this bay Peru is kazayis. They have like large pieces of kazayis of bread floating around. One would say a bracha on eating this type of food. So e less bay Peru kazayis. If there are not big size of bread crumbs where they're less than kazayis, then one would only say mevarchen ale bori meni mizonos. So bring to our case just for a second. So let's say, again, it's a big discussion in Halach Lamaisa. Let's say you have chicken, a breadcrumb chicken. So according to this right now, again, this is not necessarily true, but just to bring it to, since the breadcrumbs are so small, so one would say only mizonos on it, not hamotzi. Now, it is debatable whether one should say really mizonos on breadcrumb chicken and pretzel crumb chicken. The real answer is that certainly if it's very, very thick, one should say a separate mizonos and a shahakal to avoid any shilas. When we have breadcrumb chicken at our house, certainly pretzel crumb chicken, which is very popular these days, we say mizonos on crouton and a shahakal on something else and have it that way. Because it's... all right, either way.
A crouton would be a good example also.
No, but that we're talking about bread. This doesn't come from...
I'm saying bread because sometimes they chop up bread.
I'm talking about croutons, like soup croutons.
Right, so it's less than kazayas. So
yeah, I'm talking about soup croutons. I'm talking about soup croutons. It's not bread.
The soup croutons.
Yeah, those are not bread. You're talking about salad croutons, I guess. So then the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef, how do I know this to be the case? That depends on the size. The Tani, the Brisa tells us, Haya Omer Makriv Menachos B'Yushalayim. A person who goes to be Makriv Menachos in Yushalayim, Omer, he says, Baruch Sheikh Yanu V'Kimanu. There's a Sheikh Yanu that one says, we'll see in a second why one says a Sheikh Yanu. Not Lon L'Achlan, he takes them to eat. Omer Hamotzi Lecha Menarti, he says a Bracha. Because the Mishnah tells us, V'Chulun Pesitin B'Kazayas. So it tells us that only because their size of Kazayas, each of the Menachos, one says Hamotzi. But if it's less than a Kazayas, one would only say, Amazonos. So before we go Vaita, just look at Rashi. Why in the world are we saying a Sheikh Yanu here? So it says Rashi is found. Where is that Rashi? Here we go. Haya Omeidu Makriv Menachos Bushalayim. Around the top Rashi, around halfway down the narrow lines in the top Rashi. Haya Omeidu Makriv Menachos Bushalayim. Kigon Shalo Hikriv Koin Zeh Adain Menacha. He never, this is his first time ever doing the Avoda. So he says, first time bringing a mincha, so he says a Sheikh Yanu. There's a concept, the first time a person does a mitzvah to say a Sheikh Yanu. Such a concept exists. Oh, Shehikiv mincha chadasha kigon mincha zomer. He's bringing a new one. It's been a year. It's been Mishana Lashana. He hasn't brought one in an entire year. So we know that just like every yontif, if you say a new Sheikh Yanu, so too when you bring the mincha chadasha, the omer, you say the Sheikh Yanu. The different types of Sheikh Yanus we have. Sometimes you say Sheikh Yanu because the excitement of doing something. A new Beged Chadash, Kalim Chadash, Bayis Chadash. So that's a person doing a first time doing a mincha. That's a certain hitzchad, a certain excitement. But there's another one, nothing to do with excitement necessarily, having to do with something that comes zman lezman, the Gemara in Erevin says. If it comes from time to time, such as every yontif, so too, and in the Karban Omer, it's a Sheikh Yanu, not because of simcha, but a Sheikh Yanu because of zman. So these are the two days that's found in Rashi.
The Motzi says that's said by the Kohen. You shouldn't think that it's the person's Yisrael.
The motzi, I imagine the person who's eating it, no?
It's here, but only the Kohen can eat it.
Right, so that's why the Kohen says it. Yisrael wouldn't be saying it because he's not eating it. Fine, so the Gemara then says, Amar Le Abai, Abai says, L'tan de Be'ir Yishmael, Damar Mefarechen, Ad Shemachzin L'Saltan. There's this opinion of the Be'ir Rabbi Yishmael held that you actually do the season so much, you make them into flour, meaning after you baked it, it's like taking matzah meal. Or even breadcrumbs. When you take bread and you crush it into little crumbs, that's where you're supposed to bring the mincha to. That's what pesisa means. Hachanami, according to him, delo mevarche hamotzi, one would not say hamotzi. So granted, you don't say hamotzi in breadcrumbs, but there's still a possibility one should say mezonos in breadcrumbs. Nechite mehachanami, if that's the case, really that's true. V'hatani, the Brisa tells us, likad mikulin kazayis, if you gather together from many breadcrumbs, if you take a scoop of breadcrumbs straight from the box, you have a kazayis of it, v'achlu, you have a kazayis and eat it, im chametz, if it's chametz, one is going to be anish karish, you chayv karish for eating this. Vim matzah, and if it's a matzah, and you're taking all the matzah crumbs together, the matzah meal, and you're eating it together, adam yotzi ben yidei chavasa b'et Pesach, you're allowed to be yotzi the Pesach. So we see, even when they're so small, you could still be yotzi all these different mitzvahs, if as long as you have a kazayis of it, even though it's not kazayis attached, but there's an amount of a kazayis, one is still yotzi. So the Gemara says, no, hacha b'mayaskinan b'she'irsim. What happens was, after he took the crumbs, he then kneaded them, he made them into a dough. He put water and eggs, whatever else, and made it into a kazai shalim. But if they're still intact, this dry piece of breadcrumbs, even though you put them all in one bowl, that's not called the kazai samot. It has to still be one unit. So the Gemara says, yach, if that's the case, haynu tekatani alev, we have a question, it says, husha achlon b'chdeachlias pras, when he ate them, achlon means he ate them in the amount of time of k'deachlias pras. Now, ibish irsim, we're talking about where it was all kneaded to back together, she'achalo mibadach, he ate it. It's a davar echad, if we're really talking about a case where it became one unit. So that can't be the explanation. Ella, hacha b'mayaskinan biba milechem gadol. The situation where the crumbs came off from a large piece of bread. What does that mean? So take a look at Rashi, the top Rashi, but the bottom of that top Rashi. It says, kagon shebo milechem gadol. Shadayin hu be'en hakikar shebo mimenu. They had a big piece of challah. And that challah is still intact. Havi chashiv, and it's davar chashiv, ubar bracha, and it's subject to say the amotzi, it's a big piece of challah. And hilkach peirum nami, the breadcrumb that fell from that large challah that's still intact, but there's some crumbs that came off. Shalokhtin, you gathered all the crumbs together, chashuv and inu, mivar chalem. because it's part of the initial bread, and that initial bread is still intact, even the crumbs have a din of hamotzi. Aval, hamenachos, shepirchen, menachos that you break up into pieces, the entire amount of the mincha, v'lo nishtayr mehem davar chasher, nothing is remaining behind that's considered significant, no piece of bread is left behind, eim lecha d'bain and kazayis. You still need a one piece of that mincha that's still kazayis to have to say a bracha and all the other related halachas. So just back to Rashi continues, v'hai de chafitza nami de kamar, that chafitza which we spoke about in the beginning, e isbe kazayis, if there's a kazayis of bread comes in there, it would be a motzi, if it less than that, it would only be a mezonos. Even though the chavitza came, you took the breadcrumbs, you know, the soup crumbs, those croutons from the bagels, let's say, the challah, and you put them in, even though it came from an initial bread that was very large, if that initial bread is not intact anymore, but in kazayis, in hamotzi, it would have to be a kazayis in order to say a bracha. So finally, the Gemara says one last point here. My havale, what's the bottom line here? How do we paskin after all this is over? So the Gemara says, Rav Sheshet Amar, afilu peirurin shem b'kazayis. He held even breadcrumbs less than a kazayis, one would have to say hamotzi. That's how we paskin. And Amarava v'hu de'ika tarisa denama alayu. Only if it has its bread, it looks like bread. So in other words, those croutons that you have, let's say, from the store, where they take their old bagels or whatever they're using and make them into little tiny pieces of croutons, or whatever you're eating. So since it came from bread, and it looks like bread, one would have to say a hamotzi. Now there's a discussion, you know, when you make the, when it's manufactured, those soup croutons that look like bread, but they manufactured it with the intent of not being bread, with the intent of making them croutons in the beginning, there we pass and one would only have to say a mezonos. Only if it came from a piece of bread that was really bread, used for bread, will the croutons be made to have a motzi. But if it's not made, again, if it's manufactured with the intent of making croutons initially, even though it looks like bread, that would only be a mezonos.
So you have, it's less than a kazayis, it's made from a piece of bread, and then you have to wash and see how it is
your diet? No, that's, you have to have a kazayis for that, right. For wash. For, you wash in anything, but you wouldn't say a bracha on that.